T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
I would urge Celtics fans to be patient with Brown if he gets off to a slow start.
Jaylen Brown, 3-for-3 from downtown. Layup shot's good and the foul.
Jaylen Brown dominating here in the first quarter.
Jaylen Brown, up turnaround shot, making it look easy. Jaylen Brown, 22 points.
Jaylen Brown, a 3.
Got it.
Brown the crossover, Brown the drive.
Inside, lays it up and in. Jaylen Brown drills it with 5.3 remaining.
42 points on opening night for Jaylen Brown.
It ended up at 46 for Jaylen Brown last night, and good on our Odyssey NBA insider, Ryan McDonough, who saw the tweet from @GreshKeefe on Twitter on, oh, if Jaylen Brown gets off to a slow start, and he was like, oh, that one aged bad.
You should have pivoted that to Jason Tatum, who in fact did get off to a slow start. Brown was on fire from the get-go.
He was amazing.
He was carrying that team all night long, hit that crazy three from the logo with, like, whatever that was, 4 seconds to go, end of regulation.
It was pretty.
Down four, he hits that shot. It was crazy.
That was 114, 113, something like that, I think it was, where he hit that one from near the logo. Mm-hmm. And then it was Marcus Smart, of all people.
Well,
I was thinking of you during the game, and I know that we were all kind of hitting each other up during our with our text string. But two of the guys that stood out last night was Marcus Smart nailing a 3 in a big spot, and Grant Williams doing the Lord's work. He was just filling in all the gaps last night.
That's why they play the games, Gresh. They can't play the game on paper. Grant Williams in the starting lineup. But you know what I actually loved? And on top of it, the fact that it went double overtime and Ime Udoka played 9 guys. If this was Brad Stevens, 15 guys would have played last night. He loved going to those deep benches. He loved playing guys, even for like 2 minutes of scrub work. And you're like, what is that guy doing there? So this is the first chance we've seen Ime Udoka, obviously not preseason withstanding, like the first real game for him. And he leaned on his best players. And I think that you should. Now, once the season gets going, you get into some of these back-to-backs and some of that, that may change things. But just for last night, he's like, no, we're going to win or lose with these guys the whole time.
A couple of dudes stood out last night. Obviously, the Jays, right? So, Jaylen Brown,
good, one bad.
Very up, played a great game last night. Jason Tatum, not so much. Just
couldn't buy a bucket.
7 of 30 from the field was Jason Tatum.
That ain't no two of 15 from 3.
And I saw a number where it was like 6 of 22 in terms of uncontested shots last night.
Yeah, this wasn't, oh, he was 7 of 30, but great defense on the other side. Like, you know, he's going up against Scottie Pippen or something. Like, no, that wasn't the case. He had plenty of open looks and just couldn't get him to fall.
Aaron Nesmith, like, I'm trying to have faith in Aaron Nesmith, but every time I see the guy, fourth quarter, wide open 3. Actually, it might have been late third quarter now that I think of it. Move the ball around from the corner, wide open 3. And I'm talking, there's nobody around him.
Right.
He can hit 250 million of them in a row.
I know.
When there's no one around over at the Auerbach Center.
Got a Guinness World Record.
I mean, seriously. And then you get him into a game, and he goes 0 for 4 last night, 0 for 3 from 3.
Uh-huh.
Gives you, like, two rebounds and an assist. He played 11 minutes and had more fouls than points.
Yeah, no, Nesmith didn't have it last night.
to say the least.
And he only played 11. He and Peyton Pritchard both played 11, and then the big minutes off the bench were Romeo Langford and Dennis Schroeder.
Ooh.
So I love Schroeder.
I do too. Like Schroeder. I think especially watching him last night.
And I think it's only a matter of time until he gets in the starting lineup. Like, I really think you can go small, because it's funny, their starting lineup last night, and there was no Al Horford, so Horford will likely be in there, Williams out. So their starting lineup is big, but then all the guys they play off the bench are small, at least for right now.
Last night, overtime, the lineup was Tatum, Williams, Smart, Brown, Schroeder.
Yeah. He should be closing
Schroeder
games.
Schroeder and Brown. Yeah. They had Schroeder and Marcus Smart out there.
So that's my one
at the same time, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and I think they can definitely, like, that'll be a good defensive backcourt. My only concern is it's a poor shooting backcourt. So, and especially on a night where Tatum doesn't have it, now you're like, the only shooter out in that whole lineup was Jaylen Brown because Tatum was struggling. And Smart and Schroeder, that just isn't their thing. So a guy like Aaron Nesmith is going to be important to them. If he could just stand in the corner and drill threes, you can make a lot of money and be in the league a long time doing
that. See Carmelo Anthony.
Right. Like, I'm not asking him to be Duncan Robinson, right? I'm not saying he's got to hit every single shot.
You're not looking for Tyler Herro or anyone like
that? No, he doesn't have to do that. I mean, a lot of it, if he can play defense, you know, you start to turn into like a Bruce Bowen, Shane Battier, whatever. But he doesn't have to be that good defensively. Just hit threes. All you ask for is you know, like J.J. Redick style. Like, just hit a bunch of threes.
All right. Now, I know that we're going to get back into the Celtics at 11:30 after we talk to Andrew Raycroft here in a couple minutes. Romeo Langford got 23 minutes last night. Yeah. I know we started to see the cryptid show up last year in Romeo Langford.
Yes.
So this isn't just a Brad Stevens thing.
No.
This must be an organizational thing in terms of what they see in Romeo Langford.
Well, they used a first-round pick on him, right? Middle of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And injuries have been a big part of why he was the Celtics cryptid for a long time. But if he's healthy, I think you, at the very least, need to play him and find out. Like, this should be the year. He's a year further along than Nesmith. So you should find out, can Langford play or not? And maybe we'll find out in a couple of months he can't. And you can either bench him, or you can trade him, or you can do whatever you want with him. But
he's still only 21. At least for his birthday's the Monday.
Yeah, and he was one of those guys that was like the greatest high school basketball player in the state of Indiana.
Yep.
And then at Indiana, he was okay as a freshman, but he was hurt, so everybody made excuses for him, like, oh, he didn't shoot well because like he had like a wrist injury or something. So we'll see. I mean, there's a good player in there somewhere. It's just can he translate to the NBA?
Well, and there's also the can he get enough minutes to be able to develop into that kind of player, because he's so young. And as you mentioned, not only the injuries, but the lack of minutes and just the lack of playing time for this guy. How do you put him in there to where you can continue to develop him but not have him completely derail your basketball team? Because with Nesmith, like, we know pretty much, or at least we have an idea as to what Aaron Nesmith is probably going to be, which might be more of a guy coming off the bench to score.
Right.
And in the right situation, maybe you do have him in a fourth quarter, or Smart might be out, maybe because you got flexibility there with the Jays.
Right.
But how do you consistently get Langford minutes without compromising the team's either ability to win or to slow his development?
Well, I mean, I think last night you already saw it. He had the seventh most minutes on the team. So if Al Horford returns, maybe that bumps him down. But Horford also would probably, that's the Grant Williams minutes. So, like, he is in the rotation, though.
I love you. You're finding every way to get rid of Grant Williams.
He's not very
good.
You
can get him out of there.
But Langford, there's upside with Langford.
Yes,
no matter what
is.
You feel about him right now, maybe you think he sucks, that's fine. But there's at least upside there. He and Nesmith both provide that. Williams obviously doesn't. Like, this is what he is. And maybe you get a good night out of him. But Langford and Nesmith, like, how they go can maybe really impact this team, because there's a fight for who the third, fourth, fifth best player is on this team.
I totally agree. That spot is definitely open. We will get back to the Celtics coming up at 11:30, but right now, let's get Pucky.
Hey, let's go.
There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too.
Are you even old enough to drive?
Two guys with rich, thick, full heads of hair in that commercial. Not that our guy Andrew Raycroft still doesn't. Yeah, I mean, he is not follically challenged, but that was early 20s hair flowing in that commercial that you heard there from our friend Andrew Raycroft, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline to talk about the Boston Bruins. Razor, good morning.
Good morning, guys. It's still hair on my head, but it's a lot grayer than it was with Patrice in those days.
Man, you all look like babies in that commercial. It really is something, man. Like, especially Patrice, my God. But last night, Bruins 3-3 going into the third period. Then they lose 6-3. What the hell happened?
They played poorly. They're really bad in the neutral zone, bringing the puck through the ice. It was a sloppy game, and it looked like a team that had only played one game in 15 days. So you give them a bit of a pass. It's still early in the season, still 80 games left, but it was certainly a stinker effort last night from the crew.
Well, and you know how it works here. You lose a game, you look to the goalie, and you try to determine, all right, how many of those should he have stopped? How many of those are kind of on the team? How would you break down the five goals allowed by Swayman?
That's what we do, and I think we talked about it last week. That's going to happen more this season than it has in recent years. With Tuukka here and Yarrow, you just knew who was playing no matter what the outcomes were. Now you build up this competition. Now you have... It's not going to be goalie controversy, but it's goalie competition. And now Allmark goes in and he has his game on Friday and we go back and forth. But consider going to last night, I just thought that Swayman, and we've talked about his aggressiveness and his good job at reading the play, his aggressiveness got him into a little bit of trouble last night. And Philly was able to take advantage of it. The one goal in particular at the end of the first period where it's a point shot, a bit of a scramble in front, you'd like to see him actually retreat to the goal line. Instead, he tried to get aggressive on the first rebound shot. Instead, it bounces off to the side, and he's out in the white paint and has absolutely no way to get back. So a few of the plays, I'm not putting it on him. Again, there were quality chances, even though he didn't get a lot of shots. But a couple leaky ones, like we talked about in the preseason with Allmark, and a little bit of too aggressive at times. Mm-hmm.
I know that, Razor, I do believe last year you said, hey, Swayman needs a little more seasoning and playing down in Providence. Is this just a young, aggressive goalie who has to learn his way? Or is this a guy at times that looks lost out there to your trained eyes at a level like this?
No, I'm not going to lost. Listen, these games are going to happen, and this is why... This is what I was. So now he gets 3 or 4 days to recover. The issue was giving him the keys to the car when I was talking about last year. And All right, he's going to play 60 games in the NHL next season. That's where it gets hard because you have a game like last night. Then you go into Buffalo. Maybe things don't go right away. And all of a sudden, it starts compounding on a young kid. In this situation, they have Allmark and they signed him to a big ticket. They signed him to be a guy to play more games than Swayman at the end of the day. And these guys are going to go back and forth. Allmark has a great opportunity to play well Friday and then get the net the next time. In regards to that, Swayman gets to go to work today. He gets to go to work Friday morning, gets to go to work Saturday morning, and really improve and develop. That's how he's going to get the development, by having some of these games and bouncing back. And the key for the young kids, and for any young guy in the NHL, is consistency and bouncing back from performances that aren't 100%. And that'll be the next test, and that's what we'll look at and discuss next week with Swayman's next start.
Now, going back to your rookie year, it was Felix the Cat Potvin who was the backup, correct?
Correct, yes.
So,
And actually, to that point, he started the first 2-3 games of the season. So I was actually going to be that backup guy, yes.
So, yeah, I was curious, how did that work? Was there a time where all of a sudden they told you, all right, you're going to get the vast majority of these, or is it just you were playing better and they'd be like, all right, you're up to again today? Because I've looked it up. You played 57 games. Potvin played 28, but I didn't know he played the first three. Was there a time there where they communicated with you, or are you just like, no, I'm very clearly the number one goalie now?
No, there was no communication. There was a few times. So we went back and, like I said, Felix played the start of the season. I got in and I played well. I played well right away, but we still were going back and forth. And then there was a big game Saturday night in Philly. We were the top two teams in the conference, and I got that start. So that was the initial, like, all right, let's see if the kid can figure it out. I ended up losing that game. Didn't play great because I was so geeked up. I was so excited to play Philly and all those, Jeremy Roenick and all the guys on a Saturday night. I didn't do very well. Bounced back and forth, but probably right around Christmas time, the team was struggling, and I played really well. And I went on a run in January. I think I played 14 of 16 games in January and then took over from there. So, no, we ping-ponged the first 3 months of the year, and there was never a time where it was like, this is your job. It just, I think I went, you know, shutout, one goal, one goal, one goal, shutout over a 5 or 6 game stretch in January. And we won all 6 in a row. And then it was like, all right, the kid can play and go from there.
Is it harder to keep your confidence when you're younger or older in your career? Because it feels like being a goalie, like what you just described, it's like a constant mind screw. Well, we like you, kid, but we're not going to tell you you're the number one, but we're going to play you like the number one. So, you know, like, was that easier or harder actually to deal with as you got on in your career?
That's a great, great question. And for me, it was worse as I got older. I think I look at guys, older golfers, the more putts you miss, it feels like you remember those putts more. I feel like you look at pro golfers and the older you get, the you putt worse. You have more fear. You think about it more. For me, that's how it was as a goaltender. When I was younger, I was a little more naive. I just went out day to day playing. As I got older, I started overthinking things a little bit or reading into different things rather than just go playing. So I think some guys settle in as they get older, but I also think you see a lot of NHL goaltenders leave the league at 30, 31, 32, rather than a forward who can make it till 35, 36. And most of that's because of the mind screw, as you say, every single day, and it just grinds on you.
Do you think last night takes a little bit of a pressure off of Linus, just because if his first start was coming off of, let's say, back-to-back shutouts or back-to-back one-goal wins with Swayman in net, they might be sort of like, oh, man, like I really have my work cut out for me to even make this a 50-50 split. But after a night like last night, maybe he feels like, all right, I can jump back in this pretty quick with a good performance.
1,000%. And that's the hard part about being a goaltender in the goaltending position, because you want your team to win, and you really do, and you want the other guy to do well. But you also recognize on a personal level, it does relieve. Because, again, to your point, if Swayman had a shutout and Linus ends up giving 2 or 3 up in the first period on Friday night, I mean, the pitchforks are out, and the guy's only played 20 minutes of a season in Boston. And so certainly there is a little bit of that back and forth internally between the goaltenders. And when you're competing, you're looking at things a little bit different. So I think it does relieve a little bit of pressure on Allmark internally, but at the same time, as a team, you don't want to go to 1-2 on the season. Even though it's an 82-game season, you want to get the win Friday night.
Andrew Raycroft talking hockey with Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. So Marshy Potts won last night, and this number kind of blew me away, Razor. Since 2014-2015, Brad Marchand has the second most goals in the NHL, 230. I think a lot of us, we know that he can score, but he still feels like that Johnny Tryhard type guy. What is it about his ability to score that rubes like me and others miss?
I think it's his reputation that still follows him a little bit. When we think of him, you think of him as being the guy licking somebody. Like he's going to have to. He's always got that. And I think that chip does provide motivation for him, and he does recognize that he needs to do more than everyone else to get the recognition that he deserves. But if you had to ask me, I didn't know that stat. If you had to ask me, I would not have put Brad Marsh on at number two. Right. And I watch every game. You just don't. It's amazing what he's done and how talented he really is, and how good his stick work is, and how smart he is as a hockey player, that he's been able to get to that level. It's really incredible. And I think that a lot of people would get that question wrong, to your point, not just rubes like you. I think a lot of people in the National League wouldn't put him at number two. It's amazing.
Well, isn't it also just how a player comes into the league? Because you look at all these number one overall picks, they're automatically, you look at like Ovechkin and Crosby and McDavid, and you're like, all right, now you're just waiting for them to live up to the expectation, and then they're always sort of like the golden boys. Whereas Marchand starts out as sort of a grinder. He's playing on the fourth line for a couple of years, and so you're like, oh, wait a minute, this guy can really score. But to your point, it's not just like the slew foots and the licking, but there's like, this guy really didn't have the same path to stardom like that most of these other guys did.
Yeah, right. Nail on the head. And I think we do that with seasons every year. I was talking to a buddy, how important the first 15 games. You can be have the worst 15 games of the season, and I'll use hockey, and then have a great 60 games after that. But no one's going to actually put you there.
Right.
But if you have an incredible first 15 games as a goalie, you go 15-0, you're an all-star automatically. You're in the hunt. Even if you go 500 the rest of the way, it's really amazing how we do that with sports when we're talking about last night's game and how it was bad, but there's literally 80 games left. But these first initial games really put an idea and a perception on all these players in our heads. And it's really fascinating how it happens. Every season in every sport, you have a great start. You kind of end up have that perception all the way through.
We had Anson Carter on the show yesterday, and he said when he was playing with the Bruins and a really young Joe Thornton, Thornton would invite him over to his house to play video games and eat Pop-Tarts. So I'm curious, did Thornton ever extend that invite to you?
I spent a lot of time in Joe's apartment. We had a massive game war. We had, like, the serious board games. You couldn't, like, no, he'd have his buddies from Ontario staying with him. And they would be like, they would have to watch the board the whole time we were at practice. So when we got home, we could keep playing. And yes, it was definitely not a great diet. We had pizzas and the whole thing. So yeah, I spent a lot of time at Joe's and a lot of board games and just complete randomness. It was exactly what you would think a 20-year-old and a 21-year-old mm-hmm. would be doing in college, but we were doing it in Joe's penthouse apartment with That's no awesome. Furniture.
So Razor, you
sit on the floor eating Pop-Tarts.
So you and Joe Thornton were like Newman and Kramer playing Risk on Seinfeld. You're like, somebody's got to watch the board, for God's sake.
We were carrying it around, and yeah, absolutely. It was very intense, and you could not mess around with those pieces, no question.
For those who know that episode, hopefully you guys weren't making jokes about the Ukraine,
because
that would have brought it all to an end.
No.
Yeah, at Andrew Raycroft on Twitter, and of course he is co-host of the Morning Brew podcast with Razor and Bill Jaffe. Razor hair, Jaffe none, but good hockey talk nonetheless. Razor, thank you, friend. We'll catch you next week. Appreciate you.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank
there
you
goes
too.
Andrew Raycroft. How about that? For those who remember that Seinfeld episode, they're like on the train playing Risk. He's like, I got the Ukraine, and some guy comes
Wouldn't
over.
Trust him to leave it at home. He's going to break in. Incredible.
He went in the fire escape, if I'm not mistaken, and they caught him. That's Kramer yelled, it's a penalty. I'm taking a two-country penalty or something like that. Whenever he
High
ended up catching
risk.
Him, there is no doubt. I mean, who would have thought, right? Like, nowadays, you just assume that it's everybody's on the Xbox, and they don't even have to hang out together.
This was almost 20 years ago, probably? 20 years ago. So, and it is a good point because there's so many guys in the NHL who are college age. Like, all these dudes from Canada just, like, show up and they're 18, 19, 20, 21 playing in the pros. So, of course, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They just happen to have millions of dollars.
It can aggravate an organization and cause them to trade someone. Well, see Tyler Seguin.
Perhaps.
Yes.
I don't think he was just playing Risk.
Although
a different kind of risk.
Risk
it for the biscuit, more like it.
You took my line.
I don't like the trade. I'm just saying. It might have been a little bit different than playing war over Thornton.
Shime and I's age, everybody knows everyone who slept with Tyler Seguin.
No, man.
Everyone knows. Wow. Sorry. Everybody knows someone.
What's wrong with you?
Wow. Are you on that? No, I'm kidding. You said everybody knows everybody.
Like to be.
Stop it.
Callum Scott and Tyler Seguin.
The handsome guy.
Oh, man. Here's another handsome guy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Gresh and Keefe.
My ass is sublime.
That's not fair.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Into Tatum. Tatum falls down. Throws it ahead. Schroeder. Schroeder to Smart. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! He ties the game at the buzzer. Long go. Fight for the rebound. Rose tips it. Ball still alive.
That's what it sounded like on the Four Letter Network last night in a very hype Madison Square Garden.
Oh, the stars were out. You see everybody there?
So I was trying to count as I watched along. 11:31, Gresh and Keefe really on the WEI Sports Radio Network. So there was Dustin Hoffman, Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Obviously, you had Spike Lee there.
Tracy Morgan
was there with the Mr. T starter set. What was up with that?
He looked great. Yeah, front row. He had that must have been about 30 pounds of stuff around his neck.
Wonder if he got that in that Walmart settlement from the bad
rep. Oh, that's true. He can afford it. That's a good point. Yeah, he definitely can.
And he was on 30 Rock for a while, so that helps too.
Right.
All right, and there were...
who else? There was more people there too.
There was Iggy Azalea was there.
Oh, Iggy Azalea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She stands out in a very good way.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to think of... I'm trying to remember who else.
They definitely flashed through it a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah. There were some rappers and other...
It was a good turnout, and you know, it was a good game. Unfortunately, it didn't go... their way, but it is also weird. Like, are the Knicks good? Like, I don't know the answer. And when you see both Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker in their starting lineup, you're like, ugh.
Love Courtney and Wiggy. I heard them talking about it earlier today on the Greg Hill Show. Of hey, it's another Celtic player gone who is, you know, gotten off to a good start with a new
team. You didn't want him back. We talked about it at the time.
Yep.
He looked like he was playing for Team France last night, but normally he won't. Normally, there's more bad Fournier than good. You know, he killed it in the Olympics. That was awesome. But
yeah, because nobody plays any defense there.
He got a ton of money, and I didn't want to tie up into that.
I totally agree with you. And believe it or not, as much as Courtney brought up, that was Wiggy's point. He was like, nah, you don't want Fournier, which is really true.
No, you don't.
He came here and did nothing. And like Terry Rozier has gone on to, okay, he's going to score points.
Points
but,
on a bad team.
But he's there you go.
There's a lot of guys that can do points on a bad team. But I'm having a hard time figuring out the Knicks because they had a better record than the Celtics last year. And that was really just, what, Julius Randle and Derrick Rose. Now, they did add a couple of guys. And even though we don't love them, it is kind of funny. If you just take into account what they make, Evan Fournier is way overpaid. But Kemba Walker, is like, you're like, well. He's like practically a free guy now. They're not paying him
deal.
So he may actually live up to this contract that he's currently on.
Well, and again, if he plays 42 games, it feels like he's had a hell of a year.
I don't consider them a threat, though, even though they just lost to him. But also, it's one game, but I think it's pretty clear that there are two teams in the Eastern Conference, and you need... Now, you already have one guy missing time because of the vaccine and Kyrie Irving and the Nets.
Yep.
Something else has to happen to them or something has to happen to the Bucks for them to kind of come back down to the pack. Those teams are way out in front.
And Philadelphia did blow doors last night and played well without Ben Simmons, but
he was suspended.
Everybody kind of also admitted that it's like, okay, this situation is untenable. Hey, back to the Knicks real quick.
Yeah.
I see Tom Thibodeau on the sideline just looking like he looks like Shime when his ice cream place is closed.
Yeah.
They're just standing there and
sad,
just sad.
Hump of a guy.
I mean, just, and they go to interview him and he's.
That's just his persona.
Yeah, but are NBA guys really going to be invested 2 years?
So
like, doesn't he wear you down a little bit?
Yeah, pretty sure. Pretty sure it's a shelf life. Like, he can get guys to play hard and he also runs them into the ground. Like, he's going to take probably his best couple of players. Like, and I don't know how he's going to be able to handle it with Kemba, but somebody like R.J. Barrett will probably play 45 minutes a night. Or there's going to be some crazy stuff this year. I don't think they can maintain. And then they're one of those good examples of a team that plays so hard in the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs, you're like, all right, turn it up a notch. Like we've been playing turned up all season.
There's
so
no extra level of intensity that the coach can get out of them. And you got guys like Derrick Rose who, hey, if Derrick,
I like Rose.
I don't dislike him.
Rose 2.0.
But you just can't trust him to stay healthy. That's the issue with him because when he breaks, he just doesn't break for a little bit of time. It's the, oh, we got to put him on the shelf and order new parts and make him better again to get him back out there.
Their team's pretty fragile. If you're looking at Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Julius Randle, like there are some missed games there waiting to happen.
All those cats are going to break at some point during the year. But I think within Jason Tatum's 20-point performance last night, where the Celtics did lose in double overtime, 138-134, Jaylen Brown ripped it for 46 last night. Where was the drive to the bucket from Jason Tatum? And this is the biggest, to me, there are two big critiques in his game. One, at times he's sloppy with the basketball. Had another one where he dribbled it off his leg last night. Okay, fine, I'll live with that. What I can't live with is that guy not being aggressive and getting to the rim. And he fell into that hero ball at times where coming down to the end of a shot clock or the end of a quarter where he's the one who's just going to take the ball and try to make a dribble, let's fade away, shoot a three crap. Whereas take it to the hole, that's what gave him success in the postseason.
Well,
why has it not gotten into his brain that that's got to be a consistent part of his effort every night?
I know, and I think it's probably for some of these players now, they're like, well, it's a lot easier to just shoot from out here and I'll end the night with 20, 30 points. I think that's got to be some of the mindset because you're right. He should go to the basket a lot more. And one of the things we talked about with Ryan McDonough yesterday was for Tatum to take that next leap up. Like, he's already an all-star. He's already like an all-NBA player, but there's even another leap there. And he talked about his playmaking ability. And I think that's sort of, too, I think they all
they
kind of
tie
relate
together, don't
they? Because if you go to the basket and all of a sudden you get double teamed and you do a little, you know, alley-oop pass the Time Lord or you hit an open guy hitting a three, that's great. Or go to the bucket. He only had 5 free throw attempts yesterday. He played 45 minutes and had 5 free throw attempts. Like, that number needs to go up. Especially because like, it seems like over the last few years, he's gotten bigger, right? Like, he's stronger now than he used to
he
be.
He should be able to take the pounding.
I think he can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You look at him when he first came into the league to now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the same guy physically.
No. And I think on a night like last night where you're not making the threes, like, sometimes these guys know whether they have it or not. Like, Jaylen Brown, the way he started the game, if you're like, you know what, he's probably going to settle for a few more outside shots because he's nailing them. Fine. But when Tatum, like, just kept trying to shoot himself out of that slump, and you're like, hey, why don't you go to the hoop? Maybe draw a foul and get things going a little bit.
We know the best offensive team in just watching last night begins with the Jays and Schroeder. Then after that, it's kind of up for conjecture as to
it's like, what
who
smart
would feel,
do you get that night? You
well,
don't know.
And, you know, what Al Horford do you get that night?
Right.
Can Aaron Nesmith become a guy who can consistently knock down? Like, I look at this group, Keith, and last year it was they don't have enough shooting. Mm. I view them this year, especially now with Schroeder's ability to score at the point, and you have now Nesmith and Pritchard are those guys coming off the bench. To me, in theory, you should have enough outside shooting to where it's not the flaw that it was last year, but who the hell knows?
Assuming those guys can do it. Like that, I think Nesmith is still an unknown. He was clearly drafted in the first round because he could shoot. Everybody said he was the best shooter in the draft a year ago. But, all right, prove it. Like, we can't just say, oh, he was good in college, and this was percentage-wise. Like,
Peyton Pritchard is more of a proven outside threat than what Aaron Nesmith is. However, with Nesmith, there's still a lot of room to grow, whereas with Peyton Pritchard, you kind of know what you have.
Because isn't it really what we would always yell about with Brad, I think Udoka's going to have to figure out which guys complement Brown and Tatum the best.
Yep.
Because everyone's like, oh, Tatum and Brown, they're kind of selfish. They don't pass. It's like, well, who do you want them to kick it out to? Grant Williams in the corner or some of these other guys?
Grant Williams again.
I mean, that's the only example I have.
GW Watch.
But even like, all right, yeah, like hit Daniel Tice coming around a curl.
Well,
no.
There you go. Remember that end of a game last year? Daniel Tice is the one who's taking the three?
No, let Tatum and Brown come up with their own thing. Like, let those guys figure it out. And then you just got to find the right skill sets around them. And I do think Schroeder will be one of them. And I bet they're dying for it to be Nesmith. But if it's not, you have to get somebody else in there. Maybe Langford, maybe whatever.
And if Nesmith steps up with Schroeder and the Jays, now you got something offensively.
Now you can maybe be the third best team in the East. Maybe.
I want to mention a guy who got 0 minutes last night but is still making news, and that is Enes Kanter.
Ah, yes.
So I don't know if you saw on Twitter. It was either on Twitter or the Gram, one of the two.
Okay.
Where Enes Kanter sent out or put out the photo of the 10th arrest warrant issued for him by I don't know, the president, the overlord, the whatever it is, who runs Turkey. Not food turkey, not Thanksgiving turkey.
I get it.
Well, you know, we did make time. We're close to lunchtime.
That
so
is true.
We need to make sure that we give people the proper description of what we're talking about. But, yeah, and it's all written out. And he's like, yeah, this is the 10th arrest warrant against me. And how about this from the New York Times? Boston Celtic games were pulled. This is great. From the Chinese internet.
Oh, boy.
After Enes Kanter said on social media that Xi Jinping, China's leader, was a, quote, brutal dictator.
Yeah. He has, like, a whole long video. You can go to his Twitter. It's, like, it's several minutes. But that's what he says. Like, dear brutal dictator in the Chinese government. And he has a whole thing, which I can't imagine the NBA. Listen, I'm not saying he's wrong about anything he's saying.
Of course.
I'm not saying that.
But if you're the NBA.
But the NBA just dealt with all that Daryl Morey stuff, and they had to pretend like, I don't know, ignore, money's coming in, ignore it. They can't be thrilled with one of their players doing this.
No, I wonder if we've been pulled from Chinese internet for just talking
just
about the
Enes
Kanter story. That,
possibly.
You know, Odyssey China has now been shut down, and that people who are in Shanghai or wherever, you know, they can't listen to Gresham Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Enes Kanter did not play last night, and he's an interesting piece. Because it almost feels like you have Horford, you have Time Lord, and then if you need a break glass in case of emergency, here's Enes Kanter to give you 10 to 12 minutes if you need it inside.
Like, there's some sort of role for him that they'll use, and he's like the offensive version. Like, you hope that Time Lord's just good on both ends and not just a defensive guy, and then you don't have to swap him out. But he's a decent depth piece, and you know that Horford's not going to play. You already missed a game. Horford's not going to play in 82 games.
Right.
So, and neither's Time Lord. Tom was going to miss time, too.
As long as those two guys can play in Canada, then we're good. And then Kanter will be ready for the rest because I think he's still under the, hey, if I go to Canada, the Turkish government could pick me up. And then he's hauled back to the homeland, which would not be good for him. Well, this is one of those things we'll keep an eye on. The Enes Kanter. I have a funny feeling Ken and Curtis will be all over that. Those guys, they like their politics.
Sure.
And, you know, Enes Kanter would be jumping in there, I'm sure. Coming up. Daily fantasy players, we're going to help you win some money. Your perfect lineup is next.
Or Gresh and Keith right now on WEEI.
Keith's going to give you what you need to know. Talk about who you got to start, who you got to sit, got to let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, going to win your league. But you got to listen to Rich Keith.
And Shine Time.
Finn the fantasy breeze. Rich Keith is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolfe for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Shine.
Keith's going to give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire? So your lineup game is on fire. Put them on the board.
Championship.
You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keith
and Shine Time.
Fin the fantasy.
Brief. My fantasy team is 1-4. Jeez.
Oh, did we get a Felonious footballer update on his fantasy team?
Might be 1-5 the way things are going for him.
We're going to have to do some digging in on that. Thank you to DJ Such and Such who put that together. Who was it?
Opie the Poet.
Okay, thank you.
That's Opie the Poet crushing that. It's week 7. Many are calling it Bye-mageddon because there are so many teams on the bye.
Ooh,
that's what they're calling it.
It is. It's tough.
But that's not a problem for daily fantasy.
No, it is not. And that's why you might feel a lot better about daily fantasy because you don't have to deal with all your guys and replacing them on bye. You can just pick the best lineup possible. And that's why Shime and I are here. I will start with the quarterback. Sorry, go ahead, Gresh. You go ahead and take it away.
No, I was going to say.
Well, your perfect lineup, which we're going to dive right into, is presented by Miller Lite. When it's game time, it's Miller time.
There we go, baby. Let's get it.
Perfect. We're going to go top-heavy here to start. Give us Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I thought that meant you were going to let Shime pick the first one.
No,
sorry.
That's not what that means.
Don't worry. We'll get to the heavy guy in a minute.
Aaron Rodgers at home against football team. They are big favorites at Lambeau. He's been great. Devontae Adams has been great. So give us Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback.
And even throwing two interceptions last week, Mahomes still lit them the F up. So
Washington, yep.
So I think Aaron Rodgers goes off this week. The next guy we're going to take, we're not going to overthink this. We are going to go top heavy. We're going to grab the heaviest guy there is at running back, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
This guy is a monster. He is averaging 30-plus points in fantasy every week.
It's too much.
Are you saying backslides coming?
No, it probably isn't.
And the best part about it, they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs,
who are
the only team worse at stopping the run than the Kansas City Chiefs is the L.A. Chargers. So give me Derrick Henry.
The over-under in Chiefs-Titans, by the way, is 57.5. And so part of the perfect lineup, part of the success in daily fantasy is picking guys that not everybody has. But at some point, you can't not have Derrick Henry in your lineup because he's just going to keep torching.
He was the
people.
First person I put in this lineup. I'm like, all right, we got to craft the rest of it around him.
All right, other running back. We're going to go back to that Packer-Washington game and go with J.D. McKissic. Antonio Gibson not practicing. They're going to have to get the ball to somebody. Plus, we feel like the Packers are going to be leading. They throw the ball a lot to McKissic. So go with him. His usage should be through the roof this week.
So the first receiver I'm going to take here is a guy we're going to go really, really cheap. We went super expensive at quarterback and with Derrick Henry. So we got to get somebody that's really cheap in here. And so the first guy I'm going to put on the list here is Rashad Bateman, receiver for Baltimore. He is only going to play in his second career game, but in his first game ever, he had 4 catches, all of which went for first downs. Lamar seems to like throwing the football. I think they're going to have to throw the football against the Cincinnati Bengals. So give us Rashad Bateman.
All right, we're going to go for another receiver, Mike Evans from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're at home against the Bears. Mike Evans was really quiet last week. Thus, Brady is going to make up for it. This is what's going to happen all year. Guys are going to have great weeks, and then guys are going to be real quiet, and then he's going to say, all right, I got to get that guy back into where he's at. Also, Antonio Brown didn't practice yesterday. Gronk still remains out. So it could be the Godwin-Mike Evans show. But I think just based strictly on last week's numbers, Brady's going to feel like he needs to get Mike Evans back involved again.
What do we call that? Is that the ping pong effect with Brady?
Yeah.
Like, how do we sort of define him going back and forth with all these wide receivers?
It's just like a get right game for some of these guys. But
just making everybody happy, really.
Yeah, I think so. Because at the end of the year, they're all going to have great numbers. They're all going to have 1,000 yards. But when you go through it, it might be 100 yards, 30, 120, 10. You know, it's going to be all over the map. So that's the only thing that you know is that he's not going to let a guy go bad multiple weeks in a row.
The Tom Brady happy play of the week. You're right, Shine, because you're trying to keep those guys mentally in it.
And so the next receiver we're going to go with here, we're going to take Jaylen Waddle going up against Atlanta this week. Had an awesome week last week into his first game back. The thing you'll notice with Waddle, he is way better in this offense when Tua is the quarterback. Tua likes those quick passes to Waddle. Let Waddle get out in space and do what he does best, which is just work the field. So I think Waddle's going to get targeted a bunch this game and even maybe get another touchdown.
On our tight end, we're going to go with the newly acquired Zach Ertz on the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. First game, they're 6-0. They're taking on the 1-5 Texans, who give up a lot of points to tight ends. And don't you just have a sense that they're going to want to make him feel good right away and get him the ball early and often? I bet he gets a touchdown.
It opens up the outside, quite honestly. They need somebody over the middle to make sure that everybody doesn't funnel it all out.
Yeah, I think this is a big week for Ertz to just get accustomed to this offense. It's the perfect team to do it against, too, because the Texans stink. The next guy, excuse me, we're going to go with...
What the heck?
What in the world?
Oh, we lost Shime here.
Sorry.
It's close to lunch.
Trying to get the flex play.
I started coughing. The next guy we're going to go with on our flex is Sterling Shepard for the New York Giants. Kadarius Toney is probably going to be out here.
They got
with
no
an
one
injury.
Left. They got to throw to somebody.
And every time Shepard's on the field, he is a target machine.
Yeah.
He gets just absolutely bombarded with passes. So I really like Shepard this week for the Giants, who are going up against Carolina.
And then we're not going to overthink it on defense. We're going to go with that Cardinals team against Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. You're always guaranteed a couple of picks and probably a real low score, especially because this game is in Arizona. So there you go. Perfect lineup for week 7.
A fantasy question for you guys. And by the way, there have been those who've been asking, what's the update in the Gresham Keith Fantasy League? Dice is actually leading the league right now at 5-1. And then it is, it's an all dork podcast.
That's
second
right.
place.
That's right.
With Los Polios Hermanos and Coffin Flop in there.
You
want to
try
that
one more time?
No, I will not. Polios Hermanos.
The Chicken Brothers.
I tried to put the tried to pronounce the tilde over the N there, Shime. And then Kyler Murray in a hurry. I don't know who.
That's Dylon.
That is Dylon.
Who just lost to me last week.
Uh-huh. So.
And then there's a bunch of us at 3-3, from Lucy to me to Andy Hart, Charcuterie Shime in there at 3-3 as well.
How's John Anderson doing?
As good as Adam Rank.
I got the injury bug, guys. McCaffrey, AJ Brown, Russ Wilson.
He caught the injury bug.
Yeah, by the way, I think the real story is that 1-5 is Adam Rank.
Still better than John.
He is, but he has more points than John.
I got the tiebreaker. Well, I beat him head-to-head.
It's not head-to-head. It's points.
Okay, well, that's dumb, so we should do it the over-the-top common sense way, which is head-to-head.
However,
that's not how it is.
The reason I brought this up was because I grabbed Deshaun Watson in our league.
Did you really?
Presumptuous?
He's not going to play.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
Baker Mayfield as my backup, so I'd love to be able to trade him. Probably have to drop him, figured I would jump in. So I wonder how many people are out there like me and jumped in.
Yeah, if you're in a bad spot.
Did you think about it at all?
I thought about it in my other league because I had Russell Wilson. I was like, now I'm just streaming guys, so I thought about it, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
We'll give our thoughts on the possibility of Deshaun Watson being traded. Of course, in hour one, you heard Ian Rappaport drop knowledge on a possible Deshaun Watson trade. Coming up, we go to the lunchtime hour. Last night's Boston parlay was an utter flop.
Whoops.
We'll discuss it all next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.